Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 115. Psalm 115, we'll read verses 9 through 11 together. Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. I'll read two other verses when we read through this, after we read through this passage. So let's read all three of these verses in unison. Ready? Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. Ready? O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. I'll read two other verses to you. You need not turn there. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And also Psalm 84, verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for the fact that your presence is here this morning. Lord, when we got up this morning, there was just something different because we knew it was Sunday. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Lord, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room, so many different needs and so many different problems. No way could a human meet those, but you sure could through the preacher. Father, please fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you'll listen very carefully this morning, I think I can help you. And that's always my intent and always my plan is to help you. I'm going to read to you three passages of Scripture. We've already read them, but I'm going to read them to you again and point something out to you as I read them. The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 11, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Bible says here that God is a shield. It says in Psalm 115, verse number 9 and 10, it says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It was very interesting to me when I read the scripture and found that God was compared to a shield. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse number 2, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now that word buckler is another term or another word for the word shield. Now the Bible, in three different passages that I've shared with you, compares God to a shield. Now the verse that I just read from Psalm chapter 18, it was verse number 2. Let me give you a touch of history surrounding that verse where it talks about God being a shield. Psalm 18 is written right after David's victory over Goliath. That psalm is also found in 2 Samuel chapter number 22. Most of us know the story of David and Goliath, a historical battle between the Philistines and the children of Israel, where a man easily 9 foot 9 inches tall is mocking and making fun of God and God's people, this man named Goliath. And David, just a youth, shows up on the scene. He stands up to Goliath. We know that David, with a slingshot, then takes a stone. He hurls the stone at Goliath. The stone penetrates Goliath's forehead, and the big giant of a man, the big baboon that was God's enemy, goes down, and David wins the historical battle that we call the Battle of David and Goliath. Now, Psalm chapter 18 is written right after that victory of David's over Goliath. And notice here, David is reminding the people that God is their shield. You say, why? Why? David wrote the 18th Psalm. So now, David has slain Goliath. And David comes along and writes a psalm. It is a psalm that, and the word psalm there virtually meaning song, but it was a song, if you will, or a psalm steadying the people. It's a song of victory, but also it is David reminding the people that their God is a shield. Now, you have to understand something. When David fought Goliath, the Bible says, and if we went to it, I could show you that when David went to actually fight Goliath, the Bible says he fought him with a slingshot. He reached down and picked up 5 smooth stones. What was that? Those were his bullets, if you will. He picked up 5 stones. Well, you say, but Brother Owens, there was only 1 Goliath. Why 5 stones? Because if you read the Bible, you'd find out that Goliath had 4 brothers. And David figured, I'm going to fight Goliath. And there's this slight chance that when I beat the snot out of him, that his 4 brothers are going to want to come beat me up too, so I'll just take them all out while I've got the chance. Now, you say he's arrogant. No, he had the power of God on him, and he knew it, and he knew what battles he could and could not fight. And so, he picks up 5 smooth stones, put 4 in his pouch, puts 1 in his slingshot, hurls 1, takes Goliath down. Goliath's brothers say, "Dad, not a good day to fight this guy." Now, the battle's over, the victory's won, David is writing a psalm, they're celebrating the victory, but David is also coming along, and I believe, steadying the people of God. This race called the Philistines, that's where Goliath was from, they were big people. They were the enemy of God's people. And David comes along in this psalm, and I think David is saying to them, all the people of Israel, all of God's people, now don't you worry. I know I fought Goliath, and God allowed me a victory. And I'm sure David was trying to say to them, God's going to be a shield to you. He said, why would he tell them that? Why would God lead David to write that? Because you see, at that one battle, David stepped up and fought for everyone. And God used him to bring a great victory. I'm sure it began to occur to everyone that David did not necessarily kill all of Goliath's brothers. The Philistines were still out there. And hey, if you were walking around town and you had David with you, I'm sure you felt relatively confident if a fight broke out. But if you didn't have David with you, who in the world was going to protect you? And David said, you got to stop and realize the victory was given to me by God, but it was God's victory, and the one that protected me was not me. The one that protected me was God, and though I may not be with you, you still have your God. And your God is your shield. And that's why Psalm 18 was written. They would actually sing about it. Can you imagine? I mean, David wrought a great victory against this Philistine. But then the people, I'm sure, had some fears. Hey, we've made this race of people that are giants. We've made them mad. We just killed their mighty champion. And Goliath, he had 4 brothers. Oh, what could happen? Will they come back after us? And David said, if they do, don't you worry. Your God is a shield. Your God is your protector. And so in the scripture, you'll see the Bible teaches us that our God is our shield. I'll show you something. I have it's a little plastic shield, but the Bible teaches us that our God is our shield. Now, I think sometimes God makes the Bible so practical and theologians come along and muddy the water and make it hard to understand. You don't have to be brilliant to understand when God said, I am a shield. You say, Brother Owens, can you give us an exegesis of the Old Testament scripture? Yeah, God is a shield. It's not real hard to understand. People that have what they think is a good mind mess up the simple teaching of the scripture, and we walk away from church confused. I don't want you to walk away from church confused about anything today. I want you to walk away from church saying, I've got a God that is my shield. He's my shield. A shield. Much like this one. Our God is our shield. So you have a God that is chosen to be your shield. I was thinking about the young man introduced earlier from the military, and I think about the veterans in our church. Those men that have ever been to war where they actually seen combat, they start searching the scripture and they like verses like this. That my God is a shield, and that my God is my protector, and that my God never leaves me nor forsakes me. And listen, folks, you and I, we may not be in a physical battle today, at least the people in this room. Of course, our country is. But you and I may not be in a physical battle with a rifle strapped to our back, but we are in a spiritual battle, and you need a shield. And you have a shield. Hey, it is one of those things that God gives you when you get saved, and you say, what is that shield? It's God. God is your shield. And God says, I'm there to protect you. Let me show you something. A shield provides protection for the individual soldier. Let me read a verse to you. Psalm chapter 18, actually three verses, it says, in verse 1, 2, and 3, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, there's the word shield, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Right tucked in that verse, God said, I'm your shield. But look at how personal it is. God is a shield to the individual soldier for Jesus Christ. God is a shield for you, born-again person. God is a shield for you, sir, and you, ma'am. God protects me. Boy, am I happy about that. God protects Jeff Owens. Notice, God is my buckler. God is my shield. Look at how personal it is there. It says, I will love thee. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God and my strength. Whom will I trust? And my buckler and my salvation and my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord and I will be saved from mine enemies. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. God is trying to make something very specific to you and I. He is saying to us, He's saying, I am your personal shield. God is saying, I want to protect you. Now, listen, it's one thing when we talk in a generality, if you will, or if we make a general statement and I say, God's all the Christian shield. But that's not what God is saying here. God is saying to you, Danny, that He is your shield. God is saying to you, John Doss, that He is your shield. God is saying to you, May Burris, that He is your shield. God is saying to you, hey, Hope, God is saying to you that He is your shield. Hey, Brother Russell, God is saying to you, I am Matt Russell's shield. It's a personal thing. God, men that go into battle, they're issued a rifle or a gun. And that's supposed to be their gun. And they may end up sleeping with that gun. They clean it. And they baby it. And they sometimes kiss it. Isn't that right, Marine? They sometimes kiss it. And they baby it. And they wipe her down. They take good care of that thing. You want to know something? Your God is very personal. He is supplying Himself as your shield. It's a personal thing. I have a shield. I have a protector. I have a buckler. You know something? I'll tell you why some of you, your fears get out of hand. Your fears in life get out of hand because you have not claimed Him as your shield. You must realize God is your shield. Personally, your shield. You've got to believe that He's your shield. He's your shield when nobody else is around. Ladies, He's your shield when your husband's not around. Men, He's your shield when your wife's not around. Because some of you, your wife is your protector. Hey, children, He's your shield. God is your shield, Christian. God is, hey, look, when you go to work tomorrow morning, and everybody at work, they don't care about God, and they're uninterested in spiritual things, and you feel like they're kind of beating up on you spiritually, and you say, well, the ones I go to work tomorrow, and there's no other born-again people at work where, and I'm all alone. Well, let me tell you something. God is your shield at work when you're all alone. He's your shield. Some of you, your fears get the best of you because you have not claimed Him as being your shield. Personally, your shield. But I love how personal God makes it here. He says, I. And the person that wrote this is saying, I have claimed God as my shield. He's my buckler. He's my protector. What a wonderful thing that our God has done for us. Secondly, a shield protects the whole body. Listen to this. Psalm 115, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. It went from my and I to ours and their. We start out and God says, I bring to you individual protection with the shield. God said, I'm your shield. I will protect you as an individual Christian. And then God comes along and says, I can protect the whole body of Christians. You take, for instance, we have the local New Testament church. What is that? It's not the building. We were talking about this in men's prayer meeting the other day. We've got a great church here. But we're not talking about the buildings, though we have wonderful buildings. So many people get all caught up in what they think the church is. They think if they get them some fancy chandeliers and a beautiful parking lot and a beautiful building, that they got really some special church. That doesn't make a church. It's not brick. It's not chandeliers. What makes up a church are the people. We are called the body of Jesus Christ. And we have a great church because God is blessing a people in a great way. And here the Bible says, God said, I am their shield. And that shield protects the whole body of soldiers. And God is coming along and saying to us, not only do I protect the individual Christian, but I protect the body of Christians. And our called out assembly is our local New Testament church. And God comes along and says, I'm going to protect you, the church. I'm going to protect you. Our whole church has a shield of God's protection. God, remember, God says here, He turns from the individual that we read about just a moment ago in Psalm 18. Now He uses the word shield three different times here in Psalm 115. And He uses it for, O Israel. What is that? A group? He talks about their help and their shield and the house of Aaron and their shield. And He uses the word ye, which means plural. God protects our church with a shield. Could I give you some good advice this morning? The safest place on the face of the earth is in the church house. You're in a very safe place this morning. It's a very safe place. There'll be all sorts of people that'll get into all sorts of trouble, both physically and spiritually, this morning. Why? They were not in church. They had stepped away from the place of the shield of God. 9:45 every Sunday morning, Sunday school is the safest place for you to be at 9:45. At 10:45 every morning, church is the safest place for you to be. I think the safest place for your children at this church on Sunday night is at 5:45 in King's Kids. I think the safest place for the teenagers around here on Sunday night is at 6 o'clock in our Young Fundamentalists program. I think on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, the safest place for the people of this body is that they're in church tonight at 7 o'clock. That's the safe. I'm talking about physically. And spiritually. Why? God said, I'm a shield. I'm a shield for the individual, but I'm also a shield for the entire body, the whole unit. I think the safest place for a Christian on Wednesday night is in Wednesday night Bible study. Oh, you know something? Let me show you something. I have a book here. You know something? If the devil attacks you and he wants to destroy you, he understands something about messing people up. If all the pages of this book represented all the individual people in our church, let me show you something. If you're not with the group, and the devil can single you out, you're not too hard to tear up. But let me show you something. You take that whole unit, all in one place, at the same time, you try to tear that in half. The devil has a tougher time tearing you up when you are where you're supposed to be with the rest of God's people. There's a unification. There's a power. There's a strength there. But you're easy. Hey, do you know what wolves do? I preached a sermon on wolves a couple weeks ago. Talking about how the wolves are out to get the lambs and the sheep. You know what a wolf does? When a wolf wants to eat a lamb or a sheep, he looks for one that has separated itself from the flock. He looks for one that gets away from the flock, and then they go to that one, and they single out that one, and they tear him up. But you know something? If you and I will be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, collectively in God's house, as a unified group of people that love one another, we're one great big family. The devil comes along, he says, I'm going to tear you up. But you know what? We have a strength. The unity of a church is a strength. Don't single yourself out. Don't let that happen to you. You see, God is saying to us, I'm your shield. I'm a shield to you as an individual. I'm a shield to you as a unit, as a collective group of people that Oakland New Testament Church, number three. A shield was used as a stretcher to bring home wounded soldiers. Soldiers would, in the day when they fought with shields and swords and maybe spears, a shield would be used to protect yourself. But not only that, if a soldier would be wounded and unable to walk, you know what they do? They'd throw his shield on the ground. They'd put him in his shield. Now, of course, his shield would be much bigger than that. Some of you say, oh, man, no putting me in that shield, buddy. But they would put him in his shield. They would virtually maybe take off a belt, grab a piece of rope, tie it to a handle, and they would turn his shield into a stretcher. And somebody would drag the wounded man home using his shield like a cart or like a way to transport him. You see, if God is our shield, let me tell you something. God helps us when we're injured in the battles of life. God doesn't leave us on the battlefield to die and bleed. They say the Christian army is the only one that kills their own wounded. I have a tendency to believe that. Somebody gets down, whether it is a self-inflicted wound or a wound by somebody else, and all the jackals of life want to grab on them and ruin them and say, well, I'll get you while you're down. I'll ruin you. But I don't believe in that. And I happen to think that God is saying, I am a shield. Not only am I a shield to the individual, and not only am I a shield to the unit of the New Testament church, I'm a shield to those of you that are wounded in battle. Whether you cut yourself or somebody else cut you, God said, I can place you on the shield and I can carry you back home and to protection. This church and this pastor, you know something? I plan to be a warrior for the faith. I want us to stand up and fight for what's right. I want us to fight for integrity and fight for decency and fight for morality. And I will stand. Tonight, you come back. I'll preach on the subject of pornography. And I will stand boldly based on the Word of God on that very thing. And I believe that we are Christian soldiers. Onward, Christian soldier. Onward to battle we go. But let me tell you something, folks. The real enemy is the devil, and it wouldn't be a bad thing if a few of you started remembering who the enemy is. It is the devil that's in that thing. It's the devil that messes things up around the church. It's the devil that gets himself inside our minds and inside our hearts and begins to mess with our families and our marriages and our morality. The devil's there. Hey, I want to stand up and use this shield of faith and use this shield of my God to help me stay safe. I want to go to battle, but I'm going to tell you this. I want my shield to help the wounded back to safety. For those of you that are wounded by sin, climb in that shield of God. Come back to Him. Let Him bring you back to God. Let Him bring you to the altar this morning.
I wish I could go to the spiritual realm and leave the physical for a moment. I could take a shield and throw it down each one of these aisle ways this morning at invitation time and point to some of you and say, climb on board. Your life's messed up. You're broken hearted. You're messing things up. Climb on board and let me drag you to the altar and let the shield of God bring you back to Him. That's exactly what the shield was. Hey, that is one of the things the shield was used for. They used it to protect themselves in battle. But if they were wounded, they would place them on the shield and bring them back injured, wounded, scarred, and bleeding. Those of you that are wounded, that shield is available to you. Number four, did you know that the Bible teaches that good people can be like God in becoming shields? Good people can become like God in becoming a shield. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. Psalm 47, verse number 9, the Bible says this. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Here the Bible calls, the Bible uses the terms, the shield of the earth, or the shields of the earth. I believe that God allows men to become protectors of men. I believe God allows people to become protectors of people. I believe there are times when people need to step up and they need to be shields to protect people. God is the shield or the protector of the poor. And so should you and I. We should be protectors of the poor, not taking advantage of the poor. We have a bus ministry here. There are boys and girls that could not come to church. They would not have transportation. Their parents maybe are not uninterested in spiritual things. And our bus routes often will go out on a Saturday. They'll visit all day, invite boys and girls that could not come to church any other way to come to church on Sunday morning. We'll go out. We'll pick them up. Sometimes you got to help get them ready for the morning. And they come out. They've not had any breakfast. Their hair's not combed. They don't have anybody that cares about them to send them to church. And we are going to continue to run those buses to get poor boys and girls to come to church. This church is never going to become so floozy and impressed with itself that we shut out the poor. Why? My God's a shield, and men sometimes are set up as shields, and if God wants to protect the poor, you and I are to protect the poor. You and I, we're not to take advantage of the poor. We're to love the poor and help the poor. My God is a shield. And if man is to become like God, we can become shields. God is a shield and a protector of the little ones and the children. You and I should be protector of the little ones. God is a shield to protect the spiritually wounded. And you and I are to protect the spiritually wounded. God is a shield to protect the widow. God makes it very clear, you better watch how you treat the widows. And we're talking about widows that are widows indeed, where their husbands have passed away. God said, you better watch how you protect the widows. Let me tell everybody here that does any kind of business, you want to mess up your business? You just go out and find some elderly lady who has lost her husband, and you go take advantage of her financially. God is going to look very dimly on you, businessman. You go out and take advantage of those that have lost their husband, and to a degree, they're a bit helpless in decision-making. God said, you best not mess with those widows. You better take good care of them. You better love them and watch out for them. You ought to treat them like they're your own mama. Why? God said, I'm a shield. I'm a shield. I'm a protector. And He said, there are shields of the earth. He's talking about people that choose to become shields for the children, and shields for the poor, and shields for the spiritually wounded, and shields for the widow. God is a shield to protect the sick. And that means you and I, we should be considered of those that are sick. We should be considered of those that are hurting. I was at a veterans hospital yesterday afternoon for some time. I was out there seeing Bill Parkinson. We call him Parky. Sits usually right over here at church and just loves this church, faithful to this church. Went to the hospital and they thought he had pneumonia, and the thing has just developed and he's become sicker and sicker and sicker. And he was in intensive care yesterday. I went out and I prayed with his family and I asked God to bless him. I want God to protect him. Why? Because it's our job as Christians to be interested in the sick around our church. Why? We're shields. We're there to protect. I was thinking of Jeannie Zittle as I talked to her yesterday. One of the finest spirited ladies you'll ever meet in your life. Her cancer's kicked her around and kicked her around, and the devil's been hard on her. But as I was talking to her yesterday, I was thinking about what a fine spirited lady she was. I called and I told her, I said, "We're praying for you and we're for you, and I hope everything's going well." You say, "What were you doing, Brother Owens?" I was pushing the shield out there, and I was saying, "It's my job as a Christian. If I'm going to be like God, I've got to get my shield up. And I want the poor to climb in behind my shield, and I want the children to climb in behind my shield." We were in a staff meeting, I think it was a week ago Saturday. The routine is on Sunday nights, the children of the church come by, and I've got a big sucker jar at my office. The children of the church will come by on a Sunday night only after church, and I get the sucker jar out. I give all the children a sucker. Well, Saturday, it was mid-morning, and we were having a staff meeting with all the men. We had dealt with some pretty strong items and we're making some big decisions, and all the men were doing men things. We were all impressed with each other and all our thinking and all our logic and everything. I mean, we were in pretty deep and pretty tight on some decisions, and all of a sudden you heard a knock at my door. It was about knee high to everybody in the room. You could tell by where the knock came from the door. Very gentle. And I knew right away what kind of knock that was. That was a Munchkin knock. That was a knee-high knock. So I went to the door. There stood sweet little blonde-haired girl. Let's see. Where's Grandma? What's your daughter's name? Lacey. It's Lacey McLean. She's not that tall. Hair down on her shoulders. She looked up at me. Now, here's all these men, about a dozen men. I mean, been in there calculating and figuring and saving the world. And I opened up the door, and there she was. She looked up and said, "Sucker, please." I said, "Sweetheart, just a moment." I went and got her sucker. And as all the girls picking suckers do, she sorted through all the flavors. But you want to know how this one would look on her and how that one would look on her? Because she wasn't going to put it all in her mouth. She's going to spread some around, I'm sure. She got her sucker, and we closed the door. And I'll tell you this. It added just the touch of gentleness that staff meeting needed. What was it? That's a shield to protect the children. The shield, that's what we are. Hey, I believe that you and I ought to want to be a shield. Why? We're supposed to be like God. And He's a shield. To who? He's a shield to you as an individual. He's a shield to the local New Testament church. He is a shield that will carry home the wounded soldiers. God can be a shield. And He allows us to be the shields of the earth. You and I can be shields. I believe in trying to protect the men of God who are true blue men of God. I'll tell you this. I had someone call me, and it was somebody from another state, and they went to another independent fundamental Baptist church, and they said, "Brother Owens, we want to get an appointment with you and talk with you." Well, I have some ethics. I don't counsel with other people's church members without that pastor's permission. I just think that's unethical. And I very kindly I told them, I said, "I'm very sorry. I can't do that. I don't mess around with churches of like faith. I don't mess around with their members without talking to their pastor." I said, "You're going to have to get his permission." And these were sincere people. They weren't bad people. I called their pastor. I said, "Preacher, I want you to know something. These folks from your church, and they're from some miles away, and I mean hours and hours away." But I called their pastor. I said, "Now, pastor, these people called me, and they wanted to talk with me, but I don't feel right about that. I wanted you to know, preacher, I'll only counsel your folks if you give them permission." You say, "What were you doing, brother? I'm putting a shield up to protect that man of God. I believe in trying to protect a man of God. I believe in that. Hey, when people come to me and ask me if they don't go to my church, I say, you need to go back to your pastor. You need to go to your pastor." And I try to practice those kinds of ethics. I believe in that. And I it's a shield. I need to protect their relationship with their pastor and protect them and protect that man of God. God's a shield. He's a shield. Hey, let me ask you something. What are you doing to protect people? Good. You just gripe and complain about the poor kids that come in here to our church? They're making a mess of the restrooms. They're the gymnasium over there.
Oh, so the condition of the gym is more important to you than a little poor boy getting saved. Now, we try to take very good care of our property here, and I want things to be first class and clean. But we could make it real clean and just stop everybody from coming. What do you do to protect? Are you protecting the poor? Are you protecting the fallen? Are you protecting those that are hurting? What do you do to protect your church? You protect the spirit of the church? You protect the other brethren in the church? And I'm not talking about going out and beating people up. We don't need anybody to become a vigilante man, or more apt to be vigilante women here. We don't need that. We're to be shields, protectors. I have to read something to you. Speaking of our protection, an Italian, a Scotsman, and a Chinese fella are hired by a security company to build a security fence. The foreman points out a huge pile of sand and says to the Italian guy, "You're in charge of sweeping sand." You got it? "Mr. Italian guy, you're in charge of sweeping the sand." He says to the Scotsman, he said, "You're in charge of shoveling the sand." You got it? "Mr. Scotsman, you're in charge of shoveling the sand." He goes to the Chinese guy and he says, "You're in charge of the supplies." You got it, Mr. Chinese man? "You're in charge of all the supplies." He then says, "Now I have to leave for a little while. I expect you guys to make a dent there in that pile of sand so we can build our security fence." So the foreman goes away for a couple hours, and when he returns, the pile of sand is untouched. Nothing moved. He asks the Italian guy, "Now, you were in charge of sweeping. Why did you not sweep any?" And the Italian guy says, "I have a no broom. You said it, the Chinese fella, he would say, give me a broom. I have a no broom. He has a disappeared, and I cannot find the guy with the broom." So he turns to the Scotsman and he says, "I thought I told you, you were in charge of shoveling this pile of sand." The Scotsman said, "Aye, you did, laddie. But could nae get myself a shovel. You left the Chinese geddy in charge. I couldn't find him either." The foreman is really angry now. He storms off toward the pile of sand to look for the Chinese guy. Just then, the Chinese guy leaps out from behind the sand and yells, "Supplies! Supplies!" You laugh to be kind, and I appreciate it. Our God is our shield. Our God is our shield. He comes to the individual born-again Christian and said, "I'm your shield when you're all alone." He then comes to the local New Testament assembly, God's people, as we know it in this day and age, and he says to them, "I want to protect you. Stay inside the walls of protection." God then says, "If you ever get wounded in battle, I can throw you upon myself and I'll carry you back as a shield becomes a stretcher." God then says, a wise person will become a shield themselves, and you and I are to become a shield for others if we want to be like God. Listen, number 5, a wise soldier trusted his shield. Psalm chapter 18, verse number 30, the Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trusted in Him." Here, God is saying to you and I, you gotta trust your shield. Trust Him. I love the song, "Trust and Obey." Trust and obey. Why? For there's no other way to what? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But folks, I'm telling you, trust the shield. Trust the Word of God. When a soldier went into battle, he believed that his shield was going to keep him safe. If he did not trust the shield, he would not go into battle. I can tell you why some of you don't go into battle for the Lord. I'll tell you why some of you don't step up to be used of God. You don't trust your shield. You're not trusting the Word of God. You're not trusting the God of the Word. Is that why you don't battle for Him? Trust God's Word. You say, what is trust? If a guy were in the barracks and the captain came along and said, "We're going to battle. Everybody that trusts their shield and sword, let's go to battle." And some guy says, I trust, let's go." Everybody takes off out of the barracks but one. And the commanding officer comes back and says, "Are you going to battle with us?" He says, "I trust my shield, I trust my sword." And the captain says, "Are we going to battle?"
He said, well, I trust my shield and I trust my sword. Then let's go. Let's go to battle. And the recruit says, well, I want to stay right here. Now you tell me, do you think he really trusts the shield? Does he really trust the sword? To prove you trust the shield, you got to go to battle.
Yes, sir.
To prove that you believe it's going to keep you safe, you got to step out for God. You got to tell somebody about Jesus and put the shield up and say, you're going to take care of me. To prove you believe the shield, you need to learn to give to God like you ought to give and say, God, I believe you're going to keep me safe. When the fiery darts of the devil come by, I'm stepping out. Obedience proves trust. Do you trust God or are you trusting in yourself? There are people in this room right now. Let me explain something to you. As your friend, as your pastor, there are people in this room, you're bleeding right now. There are some that are bleeding because you have stepped away from your shield. You say, who's that? God? You stepped away from God. You stepped away from God's people. You have stepped away from the church. You stepped away from your pastor. And you put yourself out here and you're wondering why. Oh, the darts of the devil, they're hitting me. They're hitting me. You stepped away from the Word of God. You stepped away from what's right to do. You stepped away from what's right to do, and belief in the shield is an obedience to the Word of God. You say, why am I hurting? Why am I bleeding? Why do I feel the way I feel? Get the shield out there. Get the Word of God in your life. Prove that you trust the shield by obeying what its purpose is. Put that shield up there. Keep God up close to you. Let Him protect your mind. Let Him protect your chest. Let Him protect your groin. Let Him protect you. Your God is a shield. Your problem is you trust yourself. Oh, that's brilliant. Trust God. See, when you and I trust ourselves, we're liars. Amen? We're liars. We're weak. We justify our own sin. God, He's never lied. He is perfectly just. He is the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's my shield. He's your shield. And He wants to protect you. God, our shield. Oh, I love this next point. Shields were hung upon the towers. They were hung upon trees and upon the towers as ornaments of trophies. Let me explain that to you. Men would go to battle. When they would come back from battle, if they'd won the battle, they would take their shields, they would hang them on trees like Christmas tree ornaments. All these shields would be on the tree. Or if they came back to their city, and the towers and the high buildings, you'd see them hung on the towers and the high buildings, and people would look at that and say, wow, look at how all the ornaments, if you will, what were they? They were ornaments of battle and victory. The Bible says in Song of Solomon 4:4, thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. So they'd win a battle and God would say, we're going to hang the shields because the shields will say to everyone, you won a victory. The shields say to everyone, just like Christmas tree ornaments, they would hang their shields on the trees. And everybody would look up and say, God brought a great victory. That was their way of bragging on their victory. Bragging on the leader of their victory. Oh, let me tell you something. My shield becomes my trophy. You say, boy, I like to get a shield like that. You have one. You have God. You say, brother, what's your trophy? My trophy is my God. My God. Hang your shield up there, Christian. You say, well, why? Well, what victory do I have, brother? Always let me tell you what victory you have. Your God has never left you. That's victory. You say, what victory do I have, brother? Your God has never forsaken you. That's victory. My shield has never done me wrong. My shield has loved me unconditionally. My shield loves me even when I sin. My shield gives me bragging rights. My shield can keep me safe. My shield can keep me safe from me. My shield can keep me safe from the devil. I have victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You know something? I have victory. Victory is mine. I'm going to hang my shield. I want everybody to know. What do you do with your shield? So what do you mean my shield? God? You hide Him? I don't think we ought to hide Him. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. We sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine it all over Martinsburg. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it all over Martinsburg. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. I am born again. I serve the real God. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not going to be ashamed of what I am. I'm going to hang my shield. I'm going to let people know I'm born again. I'm saved. I go to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. He's my God. And I'm going to hang that shield in victory. I was thinking, kind of that shield gives us certain bragging rights, not about ourselves, but about what God does for us. I was talking to one of our good men yesterday. He said, Brother Owens, I was in a restaurant just in the last couple of days. He said, I was in there eating. There were a variety of conversations going on. He said, my wife and I, we had had a waitress wait on us. And he said, we left the restaurant, paid our bill. We left the restaurant. We're walking in out the door into the actual parking lot. He said, all of a sudden, this waitress come running. She ran up to us. He said, I never met her. She never met me. I didn't know she knew us. Walked up to us and said, listen, I have a prayer request. He said, don't you go to that great church out there on 11th? He said, well, we do. She said, I know about your church. I want your church praying. He said, wow. I didn't know she knew me. I didn't know she knew where I went to church. Let me tell you something. We better keep on hanging our shield out on the tree so everybody can see the victory. People ought to be able to know that something's going on around here. People need to see the victory of your shield flying high. Because we get glory for our God that way. God's Word is our shield. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, the Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Living by the Word of God will shield you from many of life's hurts. You know, folks, the Christian life is not as difficult as what you think. Here's what you do. You say, Brother Owens, I have a decision to make. Go to the Word of God. Do exactly what it says. You say, but I don't want to get hurt. Do exactly what it says. Well, I don't want to get hurt. Do exactly what it says. The only hurt that will come from you from doing exactly what it says is any hurt that God has chosen to come your way. And He's real protective of how much you're going to get hurt. But here's where you make your mistake. You don't do what it says. You get beat up. You get wounded. And that's because you've stepped outside the shield of the Word of God. You live by God's Word. He'll shield you from any of life's hurts. In every relationship in life, live by God's Word. You children, obey your mom and dad. Why? That's getting behind the shield of the Word of God. Obey your mom and dad. Teenagers, obey your mom and dad. Children reared by God's Word are safer because they're behind the shield of God's protection. Marriages that are behind the shield of God's protection are stronger marriages. Your daily life lived by the Word of God brings you protection. Leaders that lead God's way. According to that, hey, so you know, not the military way. And you listen to me very carefully. This church is a church that loves people. This church is a church. You, those of you lead around this church, you be gentle, you be kind, and you be good to the people that follow you. I mean that. You be careful how you treat people. Now, we will stand for right, but we will stand for right rightly. Rightly. If leaders will lead according to God's Word, the shield will keep you safe, leader. But when leaders will not lead according to God's Word, they're stepping out, they're going to get beat up. You'll mess people up. You'll hurt people. We are going to, hey, I believe the Word of God and I believe it's a shield. Oh, I've got good news and I'm finished. And that's good news for you.
God is our shield from the fires of hell. Listen to this verse. Psalm 18:35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Oh, I like that. I've got the shield of salvation. I'm saved. I can take you to the time and place in my mind when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I put my faith in Him and He saved me that day, and from that day to this, Satan can't take me to hell. What's stopping him? Got a shield. It's called the shield of salvation. I'm born again. I am saved, and I know it. Not by the works of my own righteousness, but according to His mercy, He saved me. Not by my works. According to His grace, He saved me. And I have the shield of salvation. That's what you need. If you don't want to go to hell, you can't use yourself as a shield to avoid hell. You have to take on Jesus Christ as a shield. That means you realize you're a sinner. You realize that sinners deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for and was buried for and resurrected for sinners. He paid your entire sin debt. You don't pay any of it. You just merely receive the gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. He saves you, and He becomes your shield that will keep you from going to hell. And that shield will take you right to heaven. The shield. God, my shield. A shield provides protection for the individual soldier. A shield provides protection for the whole body of believers here. A shield was used as a stretcher to bring home wounded soldiers. A shield is to be what you and I are to be. We are to be shields like God is a shield. A wise soldier learned to trust his shield. Shields were hung in the towers or in the trees as ornaments and trophies of victories so that God would get glory. God's word's our shield. And this God, our shield, is the one that does the saving so you and I don't have to die and go to hell someday. My God, a shield, a buckler, gives me a little more confidence to go out there and live for Him when I know I've got my God, the shield. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.